So I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Good. You know, I think that when we pray and we ask and we pray for others, I believe we think humility in prayer is the best prayer, right? Oh, Lord, I'm nothing. Help me, oh Lord. And you're everything. And please help me to be humble and quiet. And I'm not against that. In fact, we're in an era where everything is kind of contemplative, right? Both in our spiritual world and in the spiritual world in general, where people don't even necessarily believe in a God. Everything is contemplative. Be quiet. And that's really more like worship. But we seldom think in Paul's terms to pray for boldness, and to ask others to pray for us for boldness. You know, I was on the phone this week with a friend of mine from South Carolina, and he's just going through some tough times. And so I asked him, how can I pray for you? And he really didn't know what to say. And how many of you have ever felt like somebody will ask you, can I pray for you? What can I pray for you for? Do you go blank? I do. I mean, I always go blank, and I think most of you do, because we don't know what to say. And so I said, well, John, let me just pray for you over the phone. And so I prayed for him, and I was really bold about what I prayed for. And when I got done, I could hear him crying on the other end because he felt like he really got prayed for. And I think the Holy Spirit really worked through me to kind of know what his issues are, because I kind of know a lot of them. And so it was great to be able to pray for him in boldness and to encourage him to be bold, because he knows Christ. He's a Christian, but he's depressed. And, you know, it never occurs to me to auto-answer, well, will you pray for boldness for me? I never think of that until this week. In fact, I got all the way to Saturday, I was telling you, and all of a sudden I felt like God was pressing me to talk about this subject. So I threw out my sermon, wrote a new one, and studied, and I was here till 4 or 5 in the afternoon trying to get this thing together yesterday, because here's the thing. What does Paul ask prayer for him? Boldness. Have you ever seen Paul's prayer that says, well, you pray for me, and that I might feel a little bit better because my stomach's upset? No, he never even prays in that realm. It's always about boldness to preach the gospel, whatever it may be. And I think for all of us that we understand the idea of praying for each other and praying for problems and for illness and for money issues and relational issues, things that are central to us, and that is not wrong, okay? But it's not central to God's kingdom in the advancement of his kingdom. And I think as a church, we're coming to the place where we're beginning to go from self-focus to other focus. Do you know what I'm saying? We are beginning to look out. And man, I'm telling you, I'm getting excited. So I think to pray for our boldness is right. You need to pray for Bobby now, and you pray for me, and pray for the other leaders in church. We have leaders going on right now teaching and teaching our children and teaching our adults and teaching our youth. We need to pray for them, and we need to pray that they're bold to be able to give the gospel, to preach the word of God, and not. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? That's what Paul said. So the question may be, what is boldness, right? Let's explain our terms. Confidence, self-assured, nerve, chutzpah. I love that one. When I was in Israel, I teased one of our Jewish drivers, And then I went up and I said, I'm kind of sorry, because they were selling these ram's horns, so he did a really bad job of blowing it. And I said, well, I don't think I'll buy that one or something. And so I got convicted, and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it. He goes, no, I loved your chutzpah. So they celebrate that, whereas we kind of get offended, you know. And so that's part of what boldness is. The biblical lexicon says this: a state of boldness and confidence, sometimes implying intimidating circumstances. Boldness, courage. Boy, we need that shot of courage, don't we? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I want to look at the apostles in the early part of the church rising up. And they had the privilege of being with Jesus throughout his ministry, with firsthand conversation and teaching about the kingdom of God, and then seeing him rise from the dead and fulfilling all the scripture that had been written about him that could only be done by God. Now, those had to be exciting times, right? We see the church grow at 3,000, and in chapter 4 it grows 5,000, and then there's other growth. So we have 8,000 or 9,000. We have a mega church right off the bat after Christ dies and rises again. And so I think they were pretty fire. But here, I'm going to ask you a question, and listen, you got to listen to the question, because you're going to turn to your neighbor and ask that question, okay? Here's the question. If you were a disciple of Jesus just after Jesus rose from the dead, what difference would it make in your life now? Okay? Now let me repeat that, and it's up here again. If you were a disciple of Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead, what difference would it make in your life now? Now turn to your neighbor, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds for one to talk and 30 seconds for the other to talk, okay? Go. Okay, turn and go the other way. Okay. Oh, there it goes. There. Okay. There we go. All right. Okay, now I just want a couple responses. Can somebody give me a response of how you think it would change your life? Just raise your hand. Okay, great. Our first extrovert, right?
I'm actually an introvert, but I've adapted.
Okay.
We talked about it and decided that the changes would be the same as they had, because you would have to step out, you'd have to be accountable, you'd have to be fearful for prejudice, you'd have to worry about whether or not people were going to accept you, throw rocks at you. I mean, now it's not rocks, but it's verbal, okay. And that time is probably coming. But we think that it's probably the same as what they went through.
Okay, so you'd be pretty on the ball. Okay, good, good. I liked what you said, great. Somebody else want to try? Okay. Excuse me. Clint, did you want to say something? Yeah. Okay, all right.
God just came down to earth and proved all of his testimony that the Messiah is coming and he will raise from the dead.
Okay.
And that could give us boldness.
Okay, good, all right. Anybody else? What changes would it make in your life? Anybody else? Okay, I got one back here.
Just everything that he was teaching would come to life.
Okay.
That he taught me when we were walking with him.
Good. Okay. Great. Anybody else? Okay. One more.
I think it would be so amazing because it would be firsthand. It would be something that I knew personally and that I wasn't taught secondhand.
Okay. Good. Well, I like that comment. Okay. All right. Good answers. I think it'd be a real change in our life, wouldn't it? If you stop to think about the fact that you saw Christ rise from the dead. You remember the disciples are standing around, all of a sudden up he goes. And an angel says, what in the world are you standing there staring for? Right? Because it's time to get it on. Okay. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, we see that the disciples of Jesus were preaching unashamedly the gospel with boldness and courage. And I'm telling you, I bet you if you were standing there and you were watching Christ raised from the dead, you would be pretty excited, right? And think about the disciples. They had been raised in Judaism. They knew that the Messiah was coming. He came, he died, he rose again. They're seeing him go up. And he said, get to work. And they did. They were unashamed. And they preached the gospel with boldness and courage. And really, don't we really have the same circumstances? We didn't see him go up. So it's a little harder. We weren't living in that era, so it's a little bit harder. But let's start with Acts 4:1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, and notice here that you have different denominations within Judaism as well as we do as Protestants, okay, came upon them. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. Now, it doesn't mean that they just kind of captured them and did the politically correct thing that we do in America. No, when they put hands on them, they're putting hands on them. They're beating on them, okay? And put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now, notice after this great boldness and what had happened in chapter 3, as they were walking along, a lame man who couldn't walk asked for some money, and Jesus turned and the disciples turned, and Peter told him, stand up and walk. And he stood up and walked, and they brought him to all these great lawyers and theologians and said, look, this man now walks, and they're mad. Instead of being happy, they're mad. And it started an uproar, and the disciples were persecuted and thrown in jail. And here's the point for us. Just because we live for Jesus and do good things, different ministries and things for him, does not mean that bad things aren't going to happen to us. Right? And we've got to accept that, because I know every one of you that know Christ as Savior, we feel kind of persecuted right now because Christians are evil and bad and they don't think right. They're not politically correct. And we're getting bashed. Everybody can't get bashed except for us, right? Even in other religions. You don't bash other religions, but Christians, it's okay. In fact, maybe the real question is, if we don't suffer for our faith for Christ, maybe we really aren't making an impact. Now, what was the result of their bold preaching? Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Oh my gosh, can you imagine getting up and having a lame man walk and they're preaching Jesus Christ resurrected? 5,000 people pray the sinner's prayer, so to speak. Unbelievable. I was just at a conference where the guy said there's no mega churches in the early church. You know, when Peter and those guys started teaching, there's no mega church. Oh yeah? How many people? I mean, they'd already won 3,000 to Christ. Now they won 5,000, 8,000. That sounds mega to me. Does it to you? Yeah, what do you do with all those people? And it was all because they spoke in boldness, not in humility. Because of the fulfillment of the scriptures, and they knew the scriptures, and they were able to answer the scriptural questions, and it made half of them mad and half of them glad. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, who was his son, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, the disciples, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, what does it say? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, that's pretty bold. They got beat up, put in jail, pulled back out, and what do? They preach the same gospel all over again. Man, I love that. I love what they did. And listen to Peter. He says Jesus is the only way to heaven, so to speak. It's because of him. And it wasn't very politically correct then. Not too politically correct now, huh? And that'll get us in trouble today. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, and they could say nothing against it. Man, I'd love to have been a fly in the wall at that point. Wouldn't you? When they're preaching boldly and they shut down the Sanhedrin, they shut down the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites, and they just have nothing to say. Man, I'd love to have been there. And watching the leaders, not knowing what to say or do because of these men. So here's the big question. What was the one ingredient that the early church had in Acts that caused them to be world shakers and history makers? Boldness. Boldness. Now, we have been talking for several weeks now. Could you actually bring that back? Upstairs, could you bring that back? Okay, there we go. We have been talking about, and when they see boldness, but we've been talking about, you can go ahead, we've been talking about boldness in evangelism. We've been talking about being able to share Christ. We gave you cards and still have cards out there if you need them with the Romans Road on them so that you can share Christ. But here's the missing ingredient. We have to be bold. Amen? We have to decide we're going to be bold enough because these people are headed in a direction we don't want them to go. And we've got to have the boldness to be able to say, you know what? Let me talk to you for a minute. Do you ever think about spiritual things? And that takes boldness, doesn't it? It takes guts. It takes chutzpah. Right? And how do we get more bold in our life? By being with Jesus, they said in the scriptures, being filled with the Spirit and praying for boldness. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You know, there was a famous Methodist evangelist named Peter Cartwright. And he was known for his uncompromising, bold preaching. And one day, the president of the United States, Andrew Jackson, showed up at his church. And the elders warned him, listen, Peter, don't upset the president. Don't get out there too far. You know, they're preaching politically correct back then. Can you believe that? And when Cartwright got up to speak, the first words out of his mouth were, I understand that President Andrew Jackson is here this morning. I have been requested to be very guarded in my remarks. Let me say this. Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sin. Makes you want to clap, doesn't it? We love that boldness. And the entire, this article said, the entire congregation gasped with shock at Cartwright's boldness. How could this young preacher dare to offend the tough old general in the public? They wondered. After the service, when Andrew Jackson met the preacher at the door, he looked him in the eye and said, sir, if I had an army of men like you, I could conquer the world. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. Oh, my prayer is that we can figure that out. The element missing in our prayer, in our walk as Christians, is boldness. And there are three keys that Peter talked about. Number one, be with Jesus. Boy, when we talk about quiet time and devotions, it gets pretty tough, doesn't it? We have so many things to do and so many places to go and so many people to see. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's why they had an impact, because they knew they had spent time with Jesus. John says this in John 15, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do something. I just wanted to see if you're reading along with me. You can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Where does our strength and boldness come from? Spending time with Christ. Abiding in Jesus. Spending time in prayer and in his word and trusting his word and praying that he will work through us. Number two, pray for boldness. Now, Lord, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand. Remember James 4:2 that we looked at just a few weeks back. You do not have because you do not ask. If we want more boldness, we need to ask God to give us more boldness. Simple as that, right? Number three, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. And I'm telling you, there are times in my life, and I think you know those times, and when your life, and when you need to talk to someone you don't want to say, and you go, Lord, Lord, help me to have the words. You ever done that? Does he give you the words? You know what? He does every time. Lord, give me the words. And then all of a sudden you have this boldness. And I can remember one guy years ago, and I never forgot it, when he was talking about that. And he said, man, I wished I had a tape recorder so I could have recorded me. Because it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, our own personalities and abilities, and we may be timid and fearful, but when we're moved by the Holy Spirit, I don't care if you're introverted or extroverted, if you're quiet or loud or whatever, by the Holy Spirit, you and I can become bold. We can have that courage. That's what we need. We're not saying be a loud mouth. We're saying having the courage and the strength to share Christ and to pray for those who need prayer and to be able to quote the scripture. And do you remember what it said? We can become world shakers and makers. So here's my final thought. Suit up. Game on, folks. We're going to be leaving Ephesians because we've come to the end of it. And man, I'm sorry because we've only been in it 3 years. I don't know. I do know. I'm not telling you. Okay, you're just going to have to come back next week and find out. Okay. Suit up. There are thousands and thousands of lost souls in this city and all around us. And we have the armor. We have prayed about the armor, and we know what the armor is. And that last piece of armor is what? Prayer. Prayer. Will you pray? Will you go home this week and somewhere along the line pray for boldness? Pray that we could speak to those who are lost and those who are hurting, whatever it may be, because God's given every one of us the ministry, right? And it's the ministry of reconciliation. And he wants us to be ministers. Father, we come this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us not to be timid. Help us to trust in you, not trust in ourselves. Because, Lord, if we trust in ourselves, we'll get tongue-tied and inward and worried and all those kind of things. Lord, give us boldness to speak forth your word in the truth. While our heads are bowed, you may have come this morning. Maybe you've even been here for a while, and you really have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let me just quote a couple of scriptures to you. Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. The wages of those sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Paul in Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that. And he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer, nothing magical about the prayer, just kind of re-praying that scripture. And if today I'm speaking to you and today you want to put your faith and trust in Christ, just pray along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, and as a result, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life today and save me. I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, would just raise your hand up. Let God know you've been in business this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just come this morning thanking you that all you are asking us to do is make you boss of our life and believe that you rose from the dead, which you did. and we can be saved, and our life can be transformed, and the old things are put away, and all things become new. And Lord, we worship you this morning. We thank you for what Jesus Christ did. May we be like those disciples. May our life change to be like them in boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.